This podcast contains adult language and stories of true crime. If you don't like laughing, crying, or being horrified at the actions of other humans, this podcast is not for you.
And welcome to a listener short stack.
Hey, everybody.
So most likely you know what we do here during a listener short stack. You write it, we read it. If you're new, you write it and we read it. You write to us about your favorite unsolved crimes, unsolved mysteries, cold case files, hometown stories, anything about the show. And we love to hear from you. And then we'll read it right back to you guys. So welcome. The first order of business is we got a message, I guess at some point, and I don't remember when because it was a million years ago, we were trying to figure out the difference between parole and probation. One of our listeners, Amy H., said, I think parole is early release from a prison sentence. Probation is in lieu of imprisonment. Both are versions of court supervision and both require periodic check-ins with officers of the court, parole or probation officers. So there you go.
Thanks, Amy H.
Thanks, Amy H.
Dropping some knowledge.
Learning, growing, changing together. This first message comes to us from Sammy via email. And Sammy says, Hi, ladies. I hope this message finds you well. This will be a little long, and I apologize now. No worries. I don't remember either of the original runs of Unsolved with Stack or the reboot with Dennis Farina because I'm only in my early 20s.
Oh, you little bunny.
We love you. Oh, man. Make good choices. But I love the show and your podcast. You have done an amazing job of keeping us up to date on the stories and adding any new info. First of all, the ladies of Mystery Team Incorporated just did an episode on the Rendlesham Forest incident. Oh, Eliza, that was you, right?
That was me.
You debunked the hell out of that for us, baby. Breaking my heart every time. Sammy says, I highly recommend that podcast. If you have the time, listen to that episode. They did an awesome job, and it was interesting to compare their information to yours.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They're probably like,
no, thanks.
So we actually did this?
I'm good, I think. Thanks, well, so.
Although it does seem like we should be friends with them.
I know.
I love them. Mystery Team Incorporated?
I sort of love the name of that podcast. Yes, we will absolutely check it out. Sammy says, the rest of this message is about the Molly Bish case. Oh, that's a pretty well-known case. This one is close to my heart because I grew up in the town over from where Molly went missing. For those of you who don't know, Molly Bish disappeared from Comus Pond in Warren, Massachusetts on June 27th, 2000. It was her first day alone as the lifeguard. Molly's mom was uncomfortable leaving her alone because the day before she went missing, there was a man in a white car who was fixated on Molly. Sadly, Molly's skeletal remains and bathing suit were found 3 years later, less than 5 miles from where she went missing. I was two or three when Molly went missing, so I don't remember it when it happened. However, my dad is a diesel mechanic, and my mom, little sister, and I used to go to his shop for lunch. When you pulled out of the shop for many years, there was a billboard that said something along the lines of, Who Killed Molly? With a photo of her. I'd always ask my mom who Molly was, but because I was a child, she would never tell me. It took me by surprise when one day I was watching Unsolved and the Molly Bish case appeared on Unsolved. It's in season 12 with Stack and season 5 with Farina. It's a well-known case out in this part of Massachusetts, even though it's been 21 years since her disappearance. Anyway, two important things. One, there is a book out called Who Took Molly by Dr. Sarah L. Stein. I want to make it clear that this book is not sanctioned by the Bish family. It's full of inaccuracies, and despite what you may see on Amazon, it's not accurate. Please consider not buying this book. This breaks my heart for the family because this could have brought so much needed attention to the case, but the authors seem to be more concerned about profit versus helping those close to the case, which brings me to my next point. Just a few days ago, on Friday, June 4th, 2021, police finally identified a person of interest in the case, Francis Frank P. Sumner Sr., who passed away in 2016 and looks a hell of a lot like the sketch of the man in the white car. So Sumner was ID'd as a suspect. Sumner had a criminal record. In 1981, he was convicted of kidnapping and raping a 21-year-old woman. He was known to frequent auto repair shops in Spencer, Leicester, and Worcester. And he actually lived in Spencer, which is only about a 20-minute drive away from Warren. I've included some articles below. Feel free to share them. We absolutely will. She goes on, it blows my mind that 21 years later, this case is open and active. There is a $100,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest in this case. My hope is that the Worcester County DA puts together a case to give to the Bish family, even though Sumner has been dead for 5 years. Thank you for all the work that you do. I encourage everyone I know to listen to your show and follow along with the episodes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Sorry it was so long, and have a great day. Sincerely, Sammy.
Sammy, you are a honey.
Sammy,
amazing. And I do remember this guy finally being identified, because the Molly Bish case was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Sammy, thank you so much for writing. And we're absolutely going to check out the Ladies of Mystery Team Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one is from Lacey L. via Patreon. And they say, hello, ladies. I finally made time to write my short stack submission. I initially heard about the podcast while listening to OK Binging Case File.
Right?
Amazing.
Our ad somehow made it onto Case File.
Damn, okay, that's great. I didn't know that.
That's really great.
Are you serious?
Love that for us. I was almost caught up on Case File and skipping through the ads at the end of the episode when I heard Allison's voice and Unsolved Mysteries. I was instantly intrigued and had to check out the podcast. I was even more excited when I saw the episode lengths because I love me a good BPisode.
Yes, girl. Me too. Yeah. Me too. Oh. Give me a 3-hour long podcast. I don't care.
I don't care.
I wasn't sure what to expect from the podcast because I don't remember much about Unsolved Mysteries, but for some reason I always associate my memories of the show with ghosts and hauntings with Stack narrating from the purpley blue fog.
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to tell y'all about a recent experience that has led me to question even the most seasoned of armchair detectives.
Oh.
It was a Sunday afternoon, and I'm studying for upcoming board exam. My husband was outside working on his truck, rebuilding the engine and transmission. Our garage looks more like a shop. He has a bunch of equipment, and even though he worked on / built cars since he was a teenager, I'm a bit paranoid that he will hurt himself while I'm not outside supervising as a good wife does. Since I'm trying to study and take practice exams, he assured me he's not doing anything dangerous, and he insists that he can also handle our Sour Patch kids, ages 5 and 3.
Cute!
Well, of course, when kids are involved, nothing goes as planned. Needless to say, the kids ended up being sent to their rooms for quiet time so that my husband could finish up one last thing on the truck for the day. It had been quite a while when I heard the door open and my husband yelled my name. It wasn't like a normal call. I could tell something was wrong, so I jumped up immediately. Possible trigger warning. As I ran around the corner, I see my husband standing in the doorway with his hand on his head, and then there was blood everywhere. I mean everywhere.
Oh my God.
It was covering the entire left side of his face, in his eyes, mouth, beard, shirt, floor, door, etc.
Oh my God.
Even though he was able to stand and talk, I'm still panicking, but also a bit relieved he was coherent and could tell me what happened. He had bent down to pick up my daughter's karaoke microphone, and when he stood up, he slashed the top of his head open on the drawer of the toolbox he had left open by accident.
Oh my God, I'm gonna be sick. I can't handle that.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
I can't handle that kind of injury.
Heads bleed so much.
Yes, so much blood.
Ugh.
He then asked me to look at how bad the gash is.
No.
You need a second wife for that.
No.
I don't think so.
And I have to remind him that I'm studying for pharmacy, not nursing or emergency medicine. It was deep, definitely bad enough for stitches, so I take him to the ER. Since kids weren't allowed in the hospital and there was a 6-hour wait, I go back home and decide to clean up the garage. It looked like a crime scene.
Oh my gosh, honey.
There's blood all over the garage floor, bloody handprints on the door, and a trail of blood drops where my husband had walked from the garage into the house.
I hope the neighbors didn't see.
Seriously.
When I start Googling how to clean blood off of concrete.
Oh no!
I instantly hear Stack narrating my movements as I frantically try to clean up all of this blood. Just like the other listener who imagined Stack narrating her last known whereabouts from an earlier short stack. Eventually, I try and relax and remind myself that accidents happen and no one is going to frame me for attempted murder. Why am I so paranoid? After what felt like hours, I finally got the floor cleaned up. Though my husband had 4 staples placed, the gash healed up nicely after a few days.
Oh my God.
Get this though, I'm still finding drops of blood randomly in the garage, even though this happened weeks ago.
No. That's how they get you.
All of this to say, how on earth do police / prosecutors / people think that 20 to 30 minutes is plenty of time to clean up after a crime scene?
It's true.
Not to mention the adrenaline rush after the fact. I was so shaken, it took me about 45 minutes to get most of the blood wiped up, and even then, I had missed so much.
Wow.
Now when timelines are being established or theorized, I take them with a much bigger grain of salt than I used to, because it was such a mess.
Huh.
Maybe it was just me that was a mess, but there was also sweat and blood everywhere. I needed a lot more than 30 minutes.
Huh.
Also, I never want to hear a description of a bloody crime scene again, and I just can't quit my favorite thing, true crime podcasts.
We don't either.
Yeah.
After this.
So my advice to everyone is skip the stabbing and stick to poison. The cleanup is not worth the stress. And there's a laughing emoji.
Oh.
Thank you for all the hard work you 3 put into the podcast and for always advocating for minorities and bringing attention to meaningful cases. Being born and raised in a southern state just sucks the soul out of you when you grow up to become a dirty liberal, as Allison so eloquently says. Whenever the podcast is playing, I truly feel as though I'm listening to 3 good friends who see me and understand me.
Oh, honey.
Lacey. Your friend and patron always, Lacey.
Oh, Lacey.
Lacey, oh even God. If you do kill someone, we will back you
We're
up.
We're here for you. We are here for you.
Oh, my God.
We'll help you bury the body and
we'll
I'll hide
clean
the
up
weapon.
That blood.
I love that. Like, whole perspective and the way you wrote this is amazing.
And it's wonderful that she ends with, so that's how you can't clean a crime scene in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Proven wrong. God.
Oh, my God.
That was great, Lacey.
So
well
written. Thank you, Lacey.
All right. This is from Kimberly. Hello again, ladies. I'm currently listening to your segment on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and wanted to share a fun YouTube video relating to your mention of Kate Warne.
Yay!
The first female detective in America.
Cool.
I'm sure the books written about her go further into it, but Puppet History does a good and really fun introduction.
I'm sorry, Puppet History?
I've got the video up right now.
Please continue.
Go ahead, Carlin, take a look over here and just watch it, what Puppet History is. But then there's also people watching it on Zoom. So this is a 30-minute video. I got to check it out. I'm so excited. They have so many episodes of Puppet History.
Oh my gosh.
Seems fun. And I have actually had her name written down as like a possible grab bag topic.
Yeah, I remember you said you wanted to revisit.
She's a total, so Kate Warne, she's a total badass and had to convince Pinkerton to hide her, to hire her by explaining she could get information out of people who wouldn't talk to men. And she was a pro at going deep undercover to get people to admit to crimes. And yes, she's a huge part of the reason a serious Lincoln assassination plot was foiled. Absolute queen. So here's a very silly and lighthearted video educating us on Kate Warne. She gives us the link, which we'll post. And then she says, thank you all for brightening each day with your podcast. I'm excited to be almost caught up. Next step will be to become a patron and catch myself up on all the extra content there. Much love, Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Thanks.
Oh my That's gosh. Fun. Puppet History.
Who knew about Puppet History? Not me. Can't wait.
I'm excited to watch those.
I do love Drunk History.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Fun. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thanks, Kimberly. All right. This comes to us from Miranda via Facebook. Hello, I discovered your podcast a little over a year ago and have been binging through all the episodes and everything on Patreon. Thank you, Miranda.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Aw, thank you. I feel like you're my best friends and I wish we could have a beer together. I live in Texas but grew up right outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This past weekend, I was driving to visit my family there. I was all alone for 5 hours each way and I listened to you guys the whole time. As I was listening to your 50 States of the Unsolved Louisiana episode, I was actually on I-10 driving through Jennings.
Oh, cool.
So if you haven't listened, on Patreon we do a 50 States series, and for Louisiana I covered the Jennings 8,
the murdered women. Miranda says, I had never heard this story before, but I have to say it does not surprise me in the least. However, I did slow down and was terrified that those dick bitch cops were going to pull me over and take the $5 I had on me.
Oh.
I also warned my family about it since my parents often drive through that corridor to visit me. Anyway, just thought I would share that coincidence with you guys. I absolutely love your podcast and am kind of obsessed with it, so please never stop.
Wow.
Well, don't worry, because one episode can get you through a 5-hour drive.
Thanks, Miranda.
Thanks, Miranda.
I love coincidences like that. Like,
yeah.
When you're listening to something and you think, I'm there.
Or if you say a word and then all of a sudden, like, it says, yes. Someone says the same phrase on TV or on the radio.
So weird.
All right. So Eliza has been just patiently waiting, waving this beautiful wax-sealed envelope. So I think you guys know that it means that it's mailbag time.
We have real mail to hold in our hands and open.
Yes. I told her she had to wait for the end because it was the most fun part.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is from Sarah in Pennsylvania. It's a beautiful wax seal, colorful with a tree. I've always wanted one of these.
A wax sealer?
Have you ever watched those, you know, those series of satisfying videos? Have you ever watched one of wax seal pressing?
Oh, it's good. Makes you feel like
squishy.
Queen. Oh, wow. This is Gorgina.
Let me see.
Oh, this is like getting camp
hold it up
mail.
For the class.
Oh, my.
What's
okay, each person has the handmade thing with their
it's
name on it.
It's truly like camp mail. Okay, this one's to all of us. Allison, Eliza, and Carlin, thank you so much for sending the magnet and card. Making cards is my hobby. I send out over 100 a year to friends, family, and internet strangers.
Ah, internet strangers!
I figure everyone likes getting mail, so I made one for each of you. The card you sent me will eventually be repurposed for someone else. So it will bring someone else joy after its time with me.
I am going to cry. This is amazing.
That.
Thanks again for making the podcast, Sarah, whose Instagram is catstronomical13.
Okay, we have to follow her because I bet she posts all the cute stuff that she makes.
Okay, so each one of us got a handcrafted thing with our name on it with puffy, sparkly letters.
Oh, my gosh.
And mine has an Ann Rule quote on the back.
Mine has a Truman Capote quote.
Mine's John Ronson.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. This is so nice. Sarah, thank you.
Sarah. This is so sweet.
And as someone who used to hand make my cards all the time, I know how time consuming this is. And this is really nice.
Sarah, thank you. Oh, I love mailbag.
Next package is long awaited because I think this person told us they sent this right as things were starting to get better in quarantine.
Well, so I went in like May and then we forgot to do it in June and now it's August. So yeah, probably 4 months that tracks.
What is it? What is it?
What is it? What is it? What is it?
Wait, who is this from?
It's from Betsy.
Betsy!
Okay, there's different pieces of paper. Oh, she did the coloring page. Someone made us a coloring page a long-ass time ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it says, hi, honeys. I hope this message finds you and yours safe and healthy. As you make your way through the 50 States of the Unsolved series, I wanted to give you ladies a little something, a deck of cards, which is within. Okay. The Rhode Island Department of Corrections has partnered with the Pawtucket Police Cold Case Unit on an initiative to solve cold case homicides and unidentified / missing person cases through the means of using cold case playing cards.
Yes!
In 2018, the Pawtucket Police Cold Case Unit obtained federal funding with the assistance of the FBI for the first order of 5,000 decks of playing cards. The initial phase of the cards features 52 cases that have been selected according to their potential for the highest impact and best suitability standards. The application was open to all law enforcement agencies within the state of Rhode Island that spring.
Oh, wow.
And the first edition deck contains cases supplied by 30 detectives from 19 different law enforcement agencies
amazing.
Throughout the state.
Amazing!
The playing cards are primarily distributed within the Department of Corrections to maximize card exposure and success, and they are the only type of cards sold in the commissary. However, decks are also available through a donation to the Pawtucket Police Department Cold Case Unit. Proceeds from all sales will be used to either order a second series of cards or reorder more decks from a previous series. I made a contribution in the podcast's name and enclosed is your set of Cold Case playing cards.
Betsy, I'm dead. That was so nice of you.
Featured in this deck are Adam Emery and Brian Niesenfeld, both of whom have segments in later seasons of UM.
Oh my gosh.
Where there are 50 other possibilities for 50 states of the unsolved. Hopefully you have not recorded Rhode Island yet.
Nope.
There is a case I would like to draw a bit of attention to. There is a lot of information available, but it is one that is especially important to me. On March 24th, 2007, Andrew Coit was visiting a roadside candlelight vigil honoring a friend who had been killed hours earlier in a single car accident. At approximately 4 o'clock a.m., Andrew was leaving the vigil carrying his guitar when he was struck and killed by a hit-and-run driver. No. He was just 18 years old and a soon-to-be father.
Oh, my gosh.
Despite the fact that their vehicle probably sustained significant front-end damage, Andrew's killer was not identified. Andrew was my friend. We did theater together, and we had just completed the first performance of our senior year play the night he was killed.
Oh, my gosh.
He was excited. He had found something he excelled at. He was excited to become a dad. He was fearless and funny and did not give a fuck what anyone thought about him. I miss him. And I hope that someday his family and especially his son get the closure they deserve. Mm. Thank you for taking the time to read this novella and for all the amazing work you queens do. Your sister in mysteries, Betsy.
Betsy.
That was so thoughtful. Oh, never thought about getting that for us. I handed it to her. It's really sad when to think that there's enough. Of course there is, but enough for a different case.
Oh my God. It's just such a great idea, though.
It really is.
It's so smart.
Wow.
Oh.
Betsy, thank you.
That was so thoughtful.
That's so nice and so meaningful. Thank you so much.
Okay. So, y'all know Matt. He's the best. He is the one that gave us all of the sweet Forgotten Few discs. And then when we complained that we wanted a zip drive, he sent us a zip drive for free. He's also digitized all of the items on the Forgotten Few for us. And now if you're a patron, you'll know that he's also hooking us up over there on Patreon in terms of the Forgotten Few.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. And he sent us a zip drive with all of the Forgotten Few segments. And the zip drive came in this very heavy, very large box. So clearly, it's not just a zip drive. So we're going to open it up and see what it is.
Oh, my God.
What? I want to see.
We each have our own now.
Each have our own what?
Forgotten.
Set. We all have our own set.
Oh, of the DVDs. And then he sent the zip drive. Oh.
Which solves the problem of us constantly saying, Matt, who has the DVDs?
Oh, my God. And then he also sent a digital zip drive.
This is so...
That's a terabyte. He sent us a terabyte.
This is so much work.
Oh my gosh.
So he says, hello, ladies. This is not, I'm going to try to make this not be a quote Matt letter. I'm going to try to get to the point. To my knowledge, all the files I have or have ever had are on this drive. I'd really wanted to get 3 drives so you all could have one, but it was a bit pricey for me. So to compromise, I'm sending 2 more copies of those discs. Nobody else uses physical media, and I have hundreds of blank DVDs, so it's not a problem. They are not fancy like last time, but this way you all will have access to them without having to trade them all the time.
Oh, he's so nice.
I put lots of goodies on there, such as an almost full run of Forensic Files. I'm only missing 2 episodes.
Oh, damn.
And all of the UM music I was able to rip from the records I bought. I also tried to compile shows that featured UM cases, and I really thought I had more, but there's only 76.
Oh my God.
I'm dying.
I know.
I've passed away.
He says, lots of that stuff will most likely be worth it to you. There's a surprising amount of shit I had on my computer that corresponds to supernatural cases. And since those sound like a pain to research, it might be somewhat helpful, but I doubt it.
I'm sure it will.
For pure entertainment value, I included an episode of Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, which I edited together from several episodes, which featured UM case-inspired stories.
Oh, my God.
I did the same thing with Dark Matters, which might have been more helpful if they weren't all for cases you already done, but those ones are kind of interesting. Last, I have a folder of random stuff.
And that, and that's mostly of the theater variety. Being the Sondheim nut that I am, I have recordings, some professional and some bootleg, of almost every show of his. Some shows I have two versions. I think I'm only missing Forum, Anyone Can Whistle, The Frogs, and Roadshow. I actually went back and listened to the Ask Me Anything episode because I wanted to include some of my theater collection that was specific to each of you.
Oh my God.
Allison, as we talked about our love of A Chorus Line, I have included the video I located a while back of the original production. It's old and a little grainy, but the sound is great for something that was recorded that
long ago. I'm crying.
Eliza, since I still feel bad about your Come From Away experience,
I knew it.
I have included my bootleg of the original Broadway production.
Honey!
I watched it every few months during COVID to help me regain my faith in humanity.
Oh my God.
Carlin, I don't have copies of either of the shows you mentioned, and truth be told, I know nothing about Bye Bye Birdie. Also, every time I ask somebody what's it about, I swear I get a different answer. But you also mentioned Wicked, and that one I have. A couple of other things in there are Seussical, which isn't a great video, but I loved the show when I saw it in New York City in 2001. Carrie, which is not good, but I love the synthrock 80s score. And the movie The Thin Blue Line, which is my favorite true crime documentary movie. I recommended it back in the day if you hadn't seen it, and here it is if you haven't. And I think that's just about it. Please take care, and I hope this is helpful for you. Sincerely, Matt.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Matt, this is, like, truly so thoughtful. And yeah. Just, you are such a honey.
God. I'm speechless.
Nicest so mailbag that we've
the
ever gotten.
The most nicest.
The mostest nicest. I don't even know what to say.
Thank you, honeys.
You're
all of
not
you.
Worthy.
Carlin is going to be posting photos of all of the wonderful things that were sent to us.
And we need more stories.
We do. You know what? I'm sad to say that we are out of listener short stack stories, right? As of right now.
We have a couple on the next episode, yeah. But not enough for a full
episode. So we need a few more. And, yeah. You know, we love making these. And so reach out to us and send us anything, really. Yeah. You heard what we read.
We ain't picky.
We're not picky. We just want to hear from you guys. And, you know, the community, our little Resolve Mysteries community wants to hear from you, too.
So, yeah, if you want to send us anything that you'd like us to read, we would be happy to. You can contact us at resolvemysteriespodcast.com, resolvemysteriespodcast.gmail.com, or if you want to hear Carlin pop bubbles of bubble wrap,
I'm starting a new podcast called Pop Pop.
You can send us some bubble wrap at P.O. Box 14005, Portland, Oregon 97293. And we love you. Thank you.
We love you so.
We love you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, this comes to us from blah, 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 running out.